Writing ad copy to fit in a 30-second slot is hard, but if anyone can do it, the folks at Qualy can. Just like their Torque infrastructure automation platform can deliver complex application environments anytime, anywhere, in just seconds instead of hours, days, or weeks. Visit qtorque.io today to learn how you can spin up application environments in about the same amount of time as it took you to listen to this ad.
Good morning, AWS. Oh, that's not my usual intro to this, because here we go. Reinvent is finally here. If you're attending, my condolences. If you're not, you've made a better choice than I have. If you want to chat with people who are, I've stood up a Slack community workspace for this podcast and newsletter and the rest. It's slack.lastweekinaws.com. Come and kibitz with us. It'll be great. I'm also going to be putting out daily emails, videos, etc., podcasts. You're in the right place. It's going to be noisy. If you want to just ignore it for a week, I don't blame you on that either. And if you happen to be in Las Vegas, I will be hosting a drink up tomorrow, which is Tuesday at 8:15 at Atomic Liquors in Las Vegas. If you're around, come by, let me buy you a drink, introduce yourself. There's so much more to come. But first, let's get to what happened last week in AWS. Amazon ECS Optimized AMI is now available as an open source project. Ah, yes, an open source project that I'm sure will be used in ways that never touch AWS. Oh, it won't. You mean that AMIs are really only usable on one vendor? Oh, okay then. Introducing spelling support in Amazon Lex. It immediately barfs on recognition, showing that even AWS's other services find that one more than a smidgen problematic. Amazon RDS on AWS Outposts now supports backups on AWS Outposts. If you're only running a single outpost, this won't work well for disasters with a blast radius much beyond a few inches. Amazon Redshift launches RA3 Reserved Instance Migration feature. This might be the first time we've seen a turn in your old RIs for new instances we're trying to get you to use instead offered from AWS. Usually you kind of have to throw your weight around with your account team to get things like this done, and it's never a big formal program. Announcing Amazon Redshift cross-region data sharing preview. The ability to be charged vast sums in cross-region data transfer fees to migrate data between regions is only in preview at the moment. Presumably, AWS wants to make sure that they keep their growth bounded. If AWS announces 30 times expected quarterly earnings, then the analysts are going to be asking some really uncomfortable questions. Amazon S3 Lifecycle further optimizes storage cost savings with new actions and filters. Managing S3 Lifecycles now lets you save more money, but you won't because it's incredibly confusing and granular now. This is great for large, super well-behaved, and well-understood data access models, but for the rest of us, nobody's going to configure these until they're yelled at for not having configured them. Yay for increasing complexity in cloud economics? Nobody should be cheering for that. I'm not. I'm hoping AWS puts me out of business, not turns it into a multi-generational effort. Amazon S3 Storage Lens metrics now available in Amazon CloudWatch. You can view Storage Lens metrics through CloudWatch, which is proudly known as the preferred interface for, well, absolutely nobody. Amazon Transcribe now supports automatic language identification for streaming transcriptions. The language for the things I say is automatically identified as salty. You can now import your AWS CloudFormation stacks into a CloudFormation stack set. After many years, Stack Overflow begins to pull ahead of the AWS console in the copy and paste quarterfinals. You can now submit multiple operations for simultaneous execution with AWS CloudFormation stack sets. The world went and got itself in a big damn hurry, said Brooks in The Shawshank Redemption. He was also the AWS CloudFormation product owner. Announcing AWS Fargate for Amazon ECS powered by AWS Graviton2 processors. Fargate now supports Graviton2 processors, which sounds like technobabble from a sci-fi show. That's going to pose a problem for AWS, since machine learning and quantum computing agree that there's no room for a third AWS organization that competes with them in that space. announcing usability improvements in the navigation bar of the AWS Management Console. I don't even care about the rest of this week's releases because this is the most glorious thing I've ever seen. Seriously, go to the AWS console and search for Corey Quinn in the search bar. I promise you won't be disappointed. AWS Systems Manager Fleet Manager, got that name, now provides console-based access to Windows instances with enhanced security protocols. Ooh, Systems Manager now speaks RDP. 2003 me would have loved this feature. I used to be a Windows admin for small businesses. New multi-AZ deployment option for Amazon RDS for PostgreSQL and for MySQL. Increased read capacity, lower and more consistent write transaction latency, and shorter failover time in preview. It's growing increasingly impossible to intelligently say what makes Amazon Aurora different in any meaningful way. Announcing preview of Amazon Linux 2022. Tracking Fedora as its upstream, swapping Yum for DNF, enabling SE Linux by default. What's not to like about this new release of Amazon Linux? Announcing AWS Enterprise OnRamp, a new support plan. Enterprise Lite is how to view this support tier. It applies to all accounts in the orgs. You can't do the business tier trick of buy the RIs or savings plans in an account that doesn't charge for support, then let them flow to accounts that do. It's a bit more than a third as expensive at minimum, and it doesn't really make anything significantly worse from enterprise support. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Klarna, Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them I sent you just so you can see them facepalm yet again. AWS free tier data transfer expansion. 100 gigabytes from regions and 1 terabyte from CloudFront per month. 5 gigabytes of free data transfer is now 100 gigabytes. Wait, not yet. It doesn't hit until December 1st. This will still lead to horrible bills, but you'll be further out before they smack you. Good release, well needed. Now please keep going. New Amazon EC2 R6i memory optimized instances powered by the latest generation Intel Xeon scalable processors. I love that I suffix. It's clear that moving forward, Intel will not be the presumed default for a whole mess of things. New AWS Proton supports Terraform and Git repositories to manage templates. I wonder at what point AWS will just admit defeat and refactor CloudFormation to just be a shim for Terraform. Choose the right storage tier for your needs in Amazon OpenSearch Service, because if there's one thing AWS customers love and are good at, it's handling data lifecycles efficiently. There's no greater challenge that customers would rather be working on than playing data janitor. Send personalized email reports with Amazon QuickSight. Every enterprise software service or product eventually evolves until it can send email. Except for Microsoft Outlook, apparently. Deploy applications in AWS AppRunner with GitHub Actions. That's right. AppRunner wakes up to the reality that JithHub has more users within one company than CodeCommit has globally. Get started with a free trial of Amazon MemoryDB for Redis. One of the worst AWS service launches in recent memory slowly starts to improve. First up is a free trial. One item down, another dozen or so to go. Readable standby instances in Amazon RDS multi-AZ deployments. A new high availability option, you can read from the standby instances in RDS for things like reporting. Pro tip, always define 2 endpoints for your database queries, one for writes and one for reads. If you've got to split it out later, that process can approach managed NAT gateway bill levels of unpleasantness. Scale your Amazon ElastiCache for Redis clusters at lower cost with data tiering. store data on disk instead of in RAM is a revelation that came a smidgen late to the ElastiCache team, but better late than never. AWS announces availability of Elastic Fleets with Amazon AppStream 2.0. What the hell is an Elastic Fleet? Basically, AppStream 2.0 has gone serverless, but they don't describe it that way because that would make too much sense. Introducing IPv6-only subnets in EC2 instances. This is kind of neat. I set one up to see how it worked, and not super well for me since GitHub doesn't support IPv6 yet. 2022 is going to be a learning year for all of us. Additionally, they now have taught the managed NAT gateway to do IPv6 to IPv4 translation, which at least gives a little more value for its ridiculous pricing. And finally, NHS Digital launches NHS Login with AWS. Oh, thank God. For a minute, I thought that Login with AWS was something the NHS was setting up, in which case most of their patients will die. No, they're not using their login system. They're building a login system that will run on AWS, which means, oh, crap, they're using Cognito. Yep, I'm back to people dying again. And that is what happened last week in AWS. Thank you for listening. You will hear a lot more from me this week. You know where to find me.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.